Do you remember the first time you tried cocaine?
I don't remember exactly. Oh, yeah. It was that night. She offered me a line of blow.
Do you want some blow?
Well, I'd never done it before, just pot. But that night I felt like going farther. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Now tell me, when did it start to be a regular thing?
Well, I began to do it during the week. How about you and me? Next Tuesday for dinner?
Had you ever done drugs at work?
No, not at this point, but later. I had some coke the other day at work, you know. It was Friday for the weekend, and, well, work was so much easier.
Oh, really? I did that too last week. I mean, why not? To make the day nicer. It isn't like heroin.
Yeah, that's whack. That stuff kills you.
When did you realize you had become addicted to cocaine?
I woke up that day. David?
Yes, Amy?
Do you have some coke? I couldn't get any yesterday, and I've got to go to work. Don't remember how it started, but I wish it never did.
Don't kid yourself. Remember that pot, cocaine, heroin, and crack, they all take you places. The morgue.
What the hell was that? What, did we just air a commercial or something?
I honestly...
Did you ever hear anything like that on these airwaves before?
No. On these airwaves?
God, I'm putting this over here. In the archive pile. My God. Put that under history for a big mistake. It's 8 o'clock, and in case you didn't realize it, you're listening to WBAI in New York. It's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. So Billy Bones was the best to say the worst. I hope that's understood, but Billy Bones.
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this bright Tuesday night, along with Isaac and various other people floating around in the studio of 120 Wall Street. What's new?
Not all that.
How's the Exploit Witness show going?
Oh, the Exploit Witness show is doing pretty well.
Uh-huh. Cool. Witness anything recently?
Notice anything?
Have you witnessed anything recently?
Oh, expertly.
You gotta pay special attention there.
I do. I need to be the expert witness.
Oh, boy.
That was actually recorded some time ago, so...
Yeah, I noticed. They were referring to Timothy McVeigh as if he was still alive.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was wishful thinking or...
I'd fill you in on that one in case you missed it.
Wow. Well, anyway, I'm sorry for blowing up at the public service announcement before, but that just struck me as a bit odd for this place. I don't know. I'm very sensitive to that kind of a thing. It's not the anti-drug message. You know, I'm perfectly in favor of alternative views, but it's the, it's the way in which it's presented. It sounds like, the high compression type of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a 65-second spot, which is kind of uncanny.
Yeah, it just means,
you know,
somebody,
how much that would cost on a commercial
station?
Somebody
pressed the button late, that's what it means. It's probably 58.
58.
With a slow fade or whatever.
Very good.
Anyway, the theme tonight is rip-offs. Rip-offs.
What are we ripping off?
Oh, we're not ripping off. We are the ripped off. We always are the ripped off. Well, the term rip-off can apply to many situations, and I'm sure our listeners will use their imagination and come up with all kinds of applications for that term. What I'm going to be talking about here relates to several issues, and listeners are, of course, welcome to join in later on with any instances of their own they'd like to contribute.
Uh-oh.
Where do I start?
I recognize that logo.
Where do I start? Okay, yeah, you sure do. All right, let's start with Sprint, my favorite company, my all-time favorite company. All right. You know that I've had a Sprint phone now for a few years. Actually, what's wrong about that statement, Isaac?
Only a few years?
No, I've had a Sprint phone for a few years.
Well, I'm
I guess the sound of it turning off now, okay. So some wiseacre doesn't call me on the show.
Well, you're turning off a second phone, if that's kind of...
That's the voice stream phone going off, okay. Too, so I'm completely unreachable now.
You kind of caught me off guard. What are we looking for?
Okay, basically, the trick is that I've owned many Sprint phones over the years.
That's true.
Yeah,
the hardware you've owned.
Now, why do I keep owning Sprint phones?
In various instances, they've been thrown around vehicles,
At walls, have been thrown at people on one occasion.
Dropped out of windows.
They've dropped out, but that's just the instances where I've done things to them. There are all kinds of other instances.
Oh, they fell on their own, too.
Where, the battery, like, you know, starts lasting maybe about 30 minutes total without even talking on it. Along with all kinds of other, let's say, service shortfalls. I guess that's the polite way to say it. So, I have to keep changing my phone every now and then. And I'd say maybe 10% of the time it's my fault. It's because I've abused the phone in some way. But the rest of the time it's because the phone sucks. It's an awful phone. Now, recently, I went to the Sprint store. You know, the Sprint store up in 42nd Street?
Right.
You ever visit that place?
It's absolutely packed.
Let
like
me tell you about the primates who run that place, all right? They're the most moronic people I think I've ever met. And I don't mean this. I mean this with all due respect. But what I'm trying to say is that there are certain people there who simply do not know how to treat customers. Now, first of all, when you walk into the place...
I honestly don't think they realize they have customers.
I don't think they care one way or the other. I went in there because I had a problem with my phone. It was dying very quickly. I needed to know if there's something wrong with it. The people at the nice Sprint store, who are powerless to do anything, told me to go up there because they had a programming update for my phone that would allow me to... somehow extend my battery life. The way the Sprint person on the phone explained it was that my phone was trying to talk to a tower in California. So, they had to change the software so they would talk to a local cell tower.
Oh, that's better than the El Nino thing.
They explained it so that I understand very well, you know, very, very easily, because, you know, I'm not very technical in the mind. So, I went over to the place, and, you know, for the place that was, I guess, for service. You walk in, on the left-hand side, it says, pay your bill here, and there's a bunch of angry people waiting online to pay their bill in person, and then there's equipment to the right.
For which are they still charging you the fee to pay
45
your bill?
Yeah, I think they do. They charge you a fee to pay the bill in person. 45 minutes I had to wait for equipment. Now, there's no line there. Basically, you pick the representative you think looks the most competent, and you queue up behind that person, and there's about 6 or 7 different people there. All right, and everybody has their favorites. Kind of like going to Aqueduct or something. You place bets on who's the most confident, who's going to actually give you what you want.
Pick your pony.
So after 45 minutes of that, I finally get to my person who tells me that, no, you have to go to where the service is. And I said, where's service? It's behind where you pay the bill. You can't see it when you get off the staircase. You have to walk into paying your bill, and then you see all these other people waiting online. It's like Eastern Europe. So I think it was about... close to an hour on that line. I was talking to people on my phone, too, while I was there, telling them how awful this was. The guy in front of me was a Sprint employee who was bitching at the people there, saying, how could you penalize me for this? You know, I didn't do anything wrong with my phone, and, you know, you're charging me extra. And he had a Sprint uniform on. He was yelling at the Sprint people. It was the most incredible thing. Anyway, finally I get to the people. They did a little software upgrade, but I want the battery, the extended battery that doesn't extend. I wanted that to be looked at to see if there was a problem with that. And they wouldn't look at it. They said you have to go into equipment to do that. And I went
Which is where you were before.
Yeah, so I went into equipment. They said, we've never even seen this before. We can't look at this. You have to go back there. And by that time, they're closed. So I had quite a lot of things to say to these people. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, I got completely fed up because the phone didn't do any better. Apparently, it was still trying to talk to the tower in California somewhere. So I had to buy a new phone. Now, my phone has been discontinued. It's the flat phone. I don't know if you've seen it. It's kind of a cool-looking phone.
The little Qualcomm.
Yeah.
Really
it's, one. It's, yeah, it's
it disappears in your pocket.
It's a nice phone, except it doesn't really work very well for me. So I got another one. But I had to search long and hard for it, and I finally found one in, like, a Staples for, like, $40. Well, lo and behold, I got my latest Sprint bill.
Refurb.
No, it was new. Okay. They had forgotten about it.
Well, that's good.
I got my latest Sprint bill. And on the Sprint bill is this little charge, $34.99 phone activation fee.
Oh no!
Phone activation fee. Can you believe this? So I called them up and I said, "Why do you come off charging me to activate a phone? I mean, I had to buy another phone because the first one I bought was defective. So now you're charging me a penalty because I had to buy another phone. It's as much as the phone costs. How could you charge me this? And of course, their computers were down at the time, so they couldn't even look at my bill." So basically, the person on the phone, who I'm convinced works in that same store, just all that she could say was, "Sir, I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but that is our policy." And I'm like, "What is your policy? I mean, if I buy a phone from you and it breaks the next day, I've got to pay a penalty to get another phone." And no, she had an answer for that. She said, "No, if you sign up for our protection plan, that won't happen."
Oh, the magical protection plan.
This is thievery. This is utter theft. This is reaching into your pocket and stealing money. It really is. Now, I'm going to a little demonstration here. All right. Let's get a phone. Phone line. There we go.
Beginning of the adventure.
We're going to see, and this is unrehearsed, obviously, because it's live, and I can prove it. It's 8:10 on Tuesday, June... What's today's date?
19th.
Thank you. So this is obviously very, very live. The federal government killed another person today, so it's not on tape.
Well, we can't give you the photo of the New York Times from today, so it won't work either.
Yeah, we can describe what's on it.
We could read it, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're calling Sprint now. Let's see how quickly we can get an answer to this question, if this is indeed their policy.
Welcome to Sprint PCS. The clear alternative to cellular.
Yeah.
Please listen carefully. The options have changed. If you have a Sprint PCS phone...
Okay,
and
let's just get an operator quickly. Hit zero.
We're sorry. The digits you entered are invalid. You will be...
Zero is not a number.
Welcome to Sprint PCS, the clear alternative to cellular.
Okay, we have to sit through
this. Please listen carefully. The options have changed.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Sprint PCS phone and you have a question, please press 1. To purchase Sprint PCS products and services,
I've got a question.
If you need to activate your Sprint PCS phone,
did I hear my one or is it continuing?
One.
Yeah.
If you have questions,
we're sorry. The digits you entered are invalid. You will be prompted to try again.
If you need to
Doesn't
activate,
that sound like a threat? You will be prompted.
You will be prompted.
Please press 1. If you have questions regarding your phone or service, please press 2. Thank you for calling Sprint PCS. If you are calling for your account balance or remaining minutes, please access
should I try
our
zero again?
Website.
No, it's not worth
www.
They're referring me to a website.
Or by dialing *4 from your Sprint PCS handset. For additional options, please remain on the line.
Okay, here we go.
Please enter your PCS telephone number.
No, you see,
including
I'm not falling for that because A, you're not going to find out who I am, and B, I'm a new customer. All right, I'm a new customer, and I want to find out if this is your policy.
The number you have entered is not valid. You will be prompted to re-enter.
You will
please
be prompted.
Enter your PCS.
This is like a torture chamber.
Including area code.
I'm just going to stay on until a human comes on because I don't have a touch tone phone. How about that? Do you have an answer for that one? I didn't
think
so.
The number you have entered is not valid. You will be prompted to re-enter.
How many times can you possibly prompt me? Yeah, the prompting has stopped. Okay, maybe we'll get a person this time.
Please hold while we connect your call.
That's what you got
to
do.
They don't tell you to where. They're just connecting your call.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right.
Welcome to Sprint
PCS. Here we go again.
To hear airtime usage, account balance, or make a payment, press 1. For pricing information, billing questions, or to change or disconnect your service, press 2. For help with voicemail, dropped calls, wireless web...
They couldn't get one person to record the whole prompt.
No.
3. For information on your handset features or store locations... Press 4. Para español, presione 5.
I might have a better chance in a foreign language. Now we're just going to sit here and wait. That's what we're going to do.
To hear airtime usage, account balance, or make a payment,
press 1.
Okay.
For pricing information,
while they're
or
putting us in limbo,
disconnect your service, press 2. For help with
I think I should press 2.
To disconnect the service?
Yeah,
yeah, so it's a good idea.
Try to disconnect their service. Let's move on to the second ripoff while we're waiting on hold to deal with the first ripoff. Guess what happened to me? On my Verizon bill.
Oh, no.
Me, the person who's aware of this scam.
Carrier access charge, some bizarre charge.
No?
No.
Equipment rental?
No, no.
To repeat these choices, press 8.
I don't want to repeat the choices. I want a human. You think we're ever going to get a human?
I don't know.
Thank you for calling Sprint PCS. We appreciate your business.
Okay, I do.
Please stay on the line for the next available Sprint PCS representative.
Okay, how long did that take?
We're on the way to our person.
Okay, musical hold.
5 minutes.
Your wait time to reach a Sprint PCS representative is over 20 minutes, $4 a month. There is a $35 deductible per claim, and you can have up to 2 claims in a 12-month period.
What's this?
You may add equipment replacement through Sprint PCS when you activate your phone. However, if your phone is already activated, you must enroll in equipment replacement
at
the Wireless Insurance Service Center by calling 1-800-584-3666. Ask your Sprint PCS representative for details.
Okay, all right, I'll bite. That seems to be exactly what we were asking about in the first place, so maybe we'll get an answer to the question by default. Somehow I doubt it. I'm sure we'll get another runaround here. Insurance. You have to sign up for insurance.
Thank you for calling the Sprint PCS Equipment Replacement Program. Please press 1 for English. Gracias por llamar el programa de equipos reemplazar para Sprint PCS.
I'm going to try to press 0 for operator.
If you are calling to file a claim for a malfunctioning phone or a phone with a mechanical failure, and you purchased your new phone less than 1 year ago, please press 1. If you wish to file a claim, please press 2. If you have questions regarding the equipment replacement program or would like to enroll in this program, please press 3. If you are trying to reach Sprint PCS customer care, please call 888-211-4727 or star 2 from your PCS phone.
Just let me talk to a human.
If you wish to file a claim for a lost or stolen phone, you will be asked to provide a police report number.
A police report. I should have a police report for this kind of abuse.
Thank you for calling me. Jeff, how can I help you?
Yes, I just have a very basic question concerning equipment. I understand it's Sprint's policy if I replace my phone to charge me $35. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
How do I avoid that?
I do apologize, sir, but if you wish to go through the insurance company to receive a phone, there will be a $35 non-refundable deductible each time you call in to file a claim.
So what if I buy a phone, I don't like the phone, I want to get a different phone? I have to pay for the phone, but I have to pay Sprint again? Is that how it works?
Well, through the insurance company, sir, say if your phone was lost, stolen, or damaged, we would only replace it with the same make and model. We would not be able to do, if you didn't like the phone, we wouldn't be able to switch it out for you.
Well, I'm not asking you to replace the phone. I'm simply saying if I buy a phone and I decide to, say, upgrade to a different phone, do I always have to pay a $35 fee every time I upgrade?
That is weird. This is only through the insurance company, sir. I'm not exactly sure what Sprint PCS, how much they would charge for an upgrade.
So you're not actually Sprint PCS?
No, sir. We are separate from that.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for...
Would you like their number?
I have their number. Thank you. Thank you very much. I really do have their number. Well, if anyone has a way around that little fiasco, please let me know about it. But I think it's... And the thing is, when I bought the phone, there was not a single person that told me, oh, yeah, we're going to charge you a penalty for daring to buy a second phone, you know? It's unbelievable, the incredible ripoff that that Sprint is engaged in here. I don't know. I don't know what to do, you know? I can tell you this, I'm never going to buy another phone again because I'm not going to pay another fee on top of buying the phone. All right, we only have a limited amount of time, so let's move on to the second ripoff, Verizon. Yes, what did I fall for? The three-way calling fiasco.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, now this is the thing where if you hang up too quickly and hang up and pick up a second call, and you don't notice that you're actually getting a stutter dial tone, let's say you're a quick dialer, for instance, it will kick in three-way calling. And even though you've hung up the first call, it'll treat the second call as if it was a three-way call, and it'll charge you 75 cents per call. what Verizon has done is what phone companies around the country have done as another way to literally rip you off, take money out of your pocket. They simply, without your asking, put it on every single phone line so that if you pick up and hang up too quickly, you incur this extra charge, which you'll likely, you won't even see on your phone bill. It'll just be hidden in there someplace. So I'm going to call them, get that taken off. But how many people actually notice? You know, that's the thing that...
Very few.
Yeah, it's upsetting. It really is. Okay, now, more ripoffs. We've got quite a few here. I got this junk mail in the mail today, addressed to me personally, from Network Solutions. Dear Emmanuel, the response for .biz domain name requests has been overwhelming, and we're just days away from submitting these requests to New Level, N-E-U-L-E-V-E-L, the .biz registry. But before we submit your request, we need you to take one last step. New Level is requiring a processing fee for each .biz domain name application.
Ooh.
So you need to go online to our account manager and verify your credit card information, then select the domain name names for which you would like to submit an application. We will then apply a minimal $5 per domain name application fee to your credit card. Now, keep in mind, this is not, you're not getting the domain. This is the application fee, $5 application fee for a .biz domain. Be sure to have ready the account number and password you were provided with when you first submitted your requests. Then all kinds of things if you forget your password. New Level is treating the random registrant selection process like a lottery. The more applications you submit for a domain name, the better your chances will be of registering that name.
At $5 a pop.
So what Network Solutions is trying to get you to do is register for the same domain name as many times as possible so that you'll get it. Like, let's say you want business.biz or some stupid name like that. If you register that 1,000 times with Network Solutions, pay $5 each time, $5,000, you have a better chance than the other poor idiot who's doing the same thing across town.
But some guy who just put one application in with $5 may be able to get it as well.
The point is you don't have to put any applications in for any dollars. You know, the way network registration works is you register for, there's no pre-registration. You register for the domain name. And if you get there first, you get there first. What they're trying to do is heighten people's paranoia and get them to spend all this money they don't have to spend. They offer a discount. 100-plus domains is only $3 per domain name application. Finalize your request today, and you'll automatically get the 40% discount we promised. That's unbelievable. But to see Network Solutions, the people who are supposedly the ones that, you know, are the most trusted doing this.
I'm actually wondering, does this violate some sort of federal gambling law?
Maybe it does. Maybe it does. Want to pursue that?
Because we're doing, interstate
commerce.
Jim,
what are you...
That's another thing. I've seen their ads. About a month ago, they had full-page ads, The Times, The Wall Street Journal, USA Today. And as far as I could see on these ads, if you don't put in the application fee, there's no way to just apply.
Mm-hmm.
So what's to stop them for you submitting something like, oh, let's say 2600.biz. You are the only person that submits it. And they say, hey, that's a great name. Hey, Joe in shipping, why don't you submit 40 of these applications? They give Joe $200 under the table. He gives it back to him. He submits 40 applications.
Right.
They run it fair at that point. Joe has a 40 out of 41 shot of getting it. You've got 1 out of 41. Joe gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Ba-dump.
Yeah.
Well, what about the IP implications here? I mean, these people have been jumping up and down, settling all these lawsuits with, like, McDonald's suing Alan McDonald's Plumbing Company over McDonald's.com. What's going to happen when, you know, CNN puts in $5,000 worth of these applications, some guy manages to... some guy by the name of Charles Nicholas Nicholson manages to get it for his $5 application. Is CNN going to turn around and sue this guy? I mean, there's something very wrong here.
Yeah, I think that's the gist of it, but I think people should know about this. In addition, we have another NSI thing here. This person wrote in. I'm writing with a rant about my recent issue with Network Solutions, Inc. I've come to find in my quest to register a previously owned domain name that NSI is squatting on domain names. They're actually not updating Whois directories with info that a domain name is free, even after the customary 30-day slide they give companies, organizations to renew registrations. In fact, in my particular case, I had the guys at NSI check, and they said that the previous owner actually waived their rights to renew, and NSI has made no effort to update their info on the domain name through Whois. And here's the kicker. I asked what their policy is for deletion of unpaid domains, and they said they don't know. They don't have a clue.
It's basically when they get around to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's spring. Let's clean out the database.
Yeah.
And then they wind up cleaning out people that should actually be in the database, and then you have 3 days' worth of no service, and then you try to call them, and they don't know what's going on. You think I've been through this a couple of times?
Yes, I don't know. Okay, what else? Okay, here's more of the mail. Do you know if you've sent the tapes out from the February fundraiser yet? Okay, we're not part of the ripoff, hopefully, and we expect to be able to send that information out. Do we have a list? We have a list. Thank you so much. How do you get the list?
It was handed to me by the person who left
for
safekeeping.
Excellent. So I was going to say that I have every faith that I'm going to get the list before I leave the station, but this is great. We have the list. That means we're going to ship out the February fundraiser, the videotapes. Cost us a small fortune to do it and give our mailman a hernia, but it'll be worth it. So that's going out hopefully by the end of the week. We'll certainly have an update on that next week. As for the CDs, we're still trying to get the CDs from Alternative Tentacles with the Jello Biafra. That's from the fall fundraiser. But we are working hard to do this, and hopefully that'll come in really soon as well.
There are mainstream tentacles?
Yeah, there are mainstream tentacles. Bernie S., how are you doing?
It's a ripoff.
Bernie. Yeah, it certainly is. You know, I'm going to turn into one of these, like, angry senior citizens that's, you know, red-faced with rage and pounding his fist on the table.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, I'm beyond mad as hell. I really am. Well, now we've got...
I've had my own experience with the Sprint PCS, and I do have personal experience with their, quote, insurance policy, end quote.
Really?
Yeah, I actually subscribed to this, or decided to fork over the $4 a month, or whatever it is, for that about almost a year ago. And just about 3 weeks ago, yes, my handset was stolen. And, so I started a claim.
Just out of curiosity, Bernie, were you putting little quotation marks when you said stolen just now?
No, it literally was stolen.
Oh, okay, it was literally stolen. All right.
Not only was stolen, that a friend of mine tried to call me about an hour after it was stolen, and some woman answered and told this female friend who was calling me that she was my wife and had two children by me, and why are you calling him?
There should be insurance against that kind of thing.
There should be, but anyhow, that took some explaining to get that resolved. Anyway. Anyone who knows me, you would realize how ludicrous that scenario might be. But anyway, so you pay $4 a month for this. So I submitted my claim. They did waive the police report requirement because I asked them, like, well, I could do it, but it was, you know, whatever. They waived that, so that was nice. Then they said, well, your phone is now unavailable. I have the Sprint dual band touch point. Actually, it's made by a company called Denso. I think they're in Canada. It's actually a very nice handset. It's got the like joystick in the middle of it. And
mm-hmm.
It's got a pretty large screen.
That was one of the first web enabled phones, right?
It was in fact the first one with a micro browser, the phone.com browser.
That's a lot of fun.
The first one. In fact, I beta tested that handset for the local Sprint PCS VP, who happens to be a ham radio operator, and I. Made his acquaintance. Anyway, so I got the beta test the thing and so forth before the data services were generally available. And so anyhow, I told them that I have this handset, which is still available through Sprint PCS stores. And they said, well, that phone's not available. And if you look at your contract, it says that we decide what phones are available. And if it's not available, we will supply you with a comparable phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, there's no phone that's comparable to this because I also have to purchase the software and the special cable that lets you connect it to the serial port of your PC and back up your phone database, which I do on a regular basis because you never know what's going to happen. And I've got like hundreds of phone numbers stored in it and so forth. And they said, well, if it makes and receives calls, then it's comparable. I said, well, I beg to differ. What is your definition of comparable as defined in the contract?
And that's like Sprint thinking they're comparable to another phone company because they answer the phone.
I'll tell you. Well, mm-hmm. It's funny. So what I ended up doing is I ended up buying one of the same handsets at a Sprint PCS store here in Philadelphia with the full intention of returning it within 30 days, which I believe was their return policy.
Mm-hmm.
But unbeknownst to me, they it used to be 30 days, but then they changed it to 14 days. So that was a whole other nightmare. But anyhow, meanwhile, I went through several supervisors at Loxton Insurance Corporation, which is the company that contracts with Sprint, the folks you were talking to earlier, Emmanuel.
Bernie, you got to wrap this up in 30 seconds.
Okay. Anyhow, I had to yell at a bunch of people, and I finally sent me the right phone, and guess what? There's a problem with it. It drains my batteries in about 3 hours.
Great.
So I'm still using that phone now, and then I returned the other phone, and they gave me a hard time, but I finally got it returned. And,
well, okay.
And, bottom line is Sprint PCS really sucks. Oh, and the store where I tried to return the phone, they said, oh, this is a small store. We don't have customer service here. I'm like, well, that's the most honest statement I've ever heard from a Sprint PCS employee.
Yeah, it is. It also means we don't have customers here as well. Hopefully that's how it will be interpreted. Anyway, Bernie, we have a bit of a ripoff of our own to deal with that came down last week with the Shapeshifter case having to do with the bail being returned. Do you want to very quickly tell us what happened with that?
Serious ripoff. This is a government ripoff, if I've ever encountered one. Folks who've listened to this program for a year or so may remember that our graphic layout artist, the 2600 Shapeshifter, was arrested on completely bogus charges of possessing an instrument of crime and other subversive activities along those lines for walking down the sidewalk with a cell phone during the Republican National Convention here in Philadelphia last summer. Anyhow, we all knew the 2600, these charges were bogus, so some of us scrambled to raise the, well, first his bail was $500,000, if you recall, and Shapeshifter languished in prison for about a week until a bail reduction hearing got it knocked down to a measly $100,000, 10% of which was in cash was adequate surety, according to the city bail agency here in Philly, to spring him and guarantee his appearance at trial. So some 2,600 staffers scrambled to raise the $10,000 and fork that over to the city of Philadelphia. And over the past, what has it been, 10 months now?
Mm-hmm.
Since Terrence was thrown in prison, some of the charges were dropped, and finally the judge granted a motion to dismiss the remaining charge, which he said he had serious doubts as to whether there's any criminal activity whatsoever. And, of course, we all knew that in the first place, but it took 10 months of arduous legal process to mm-hmm. get that resolved. So we figured, all right, the $10,000 should finally be returned since Terrence did indeed show up for all of these hearings.
10 seconds, Bernie, 10 seconds.
The city of Philadelphia decided they were going to keep $750 for administration fees.
Unbelievable.
Because of their trouble.
This is for somebody who was found completely innocent of everything.
Absolutely. The judge himself apologized to everyone in the courtroom for this unnecessary hassle that was caused by everybody by the city of Philadelphia. And $750 still remains unrefunded to mm-hmm. Terrence, who took this check for $9,250 to the bank, and we went there and took the bank 45 minutes. First Union Bank, which here in Philadelphia goes by the initials FU, took 45 minutes to cash this check. They made numerous phone calls. The teller next to ours mentioned that she'd never seen a bail refund check so big, mm-hmm. and that Terrence was very lucky to get out of jail. I said, well, he's fortunate to have a lot of friends. And she said, well, it wasn't his friends who got him out of jail. It was God who got him out of jail.
Well, maybe God should pay the $750 then, because
his
friends don't think that's very fair.
Anyway, so anyhow, I guess this isn't the end of the story. I think there may be some other legal actions on the horizon to get this and other...
I hope
however,
so.
His cell phones were returned.
Okay, well, that's nice, too. I mean, it was equipment that was taken from him. But, I think this is something that should be pursued because it's indicative of a problem that goes well beyond the problem of our layout artists. But basically, when people are arrested in this country, apparently, if they're found innocent, they still have to pay a penalty. And that just strikes me as a bit bizarre. Did you know about this, Isaac?
Well, only from the show. I mean, uh-huh. I've recognized, hey, you should be getting this money back. And
yeah, maybe like an apology or something, or sorry, you were innocent.
Apology, just you're innocent.
I'd
here's
like
your bail
apology.
Money back. We shouldn't have put you in prison in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, here's your money back.
How about the interest?
They've
been earning interest on it all this time.
I think you could push for interest, but I wouldn't be interested in that.
I thought we would get the money back. when the trial came, because bail is supposed to make you come to trial. That's what I always thought it was for. So the trial happened, the appeal happened, and then, you know, we still hadn't gotten the money back, and then finally we got it back, but minus $750 for administrative costs. Now, something else which kind of distressed me about this, and we're going to open up the phone lines, the weird acting phone lines at 212-209-2900 while I was talking. I was performing some tests on it as well, and I noticed that it does hang up on you after a while, which it didn't used to do before.
When you're ringing or when you're ringing. Actually talking?
Yeah, but it also bounces all over the place on the switchboard.
It's the whack-a-mole telephone.
But it does go through. So if you call in, 212-209-2900, you will get through. So please try. And also, the more people call in, the more we can test out and see just what exactly is going on with this switchboard, because it's acting kind of weird. We've been getting a lot of mail about this. Most people, of course, see the injustice, but...
The telephone?
No, not about the telephone, about the bail hearing.
Stay with us, Angie.
So, basically... I'm going to skip over all the support because we're preaching to the converted here, but I want to show like what some people say and maybe focus a little attention on what's disturbing about this. Okay, this person says, well, I know this might sound a bit strange. It's only $750, man. Be glad he is free. I mean, how would you like it if you were a judge and the cost for you granting freedom to someone was a mere $750? I mean, it is the government. They could have held it all for what we know. I'm not saying they were right. Just that it's such a petty amount to quarrel over. I mean, the court secretary and the bailiff and everyone else in there have to get paid somehow. Yeah, okay, beautiful. They have to get paid somehow, but not by stealing money from innocent people.
I imagine that it should be coming from the police department for wrongful prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Absolutely.
I can't believe you said that, Isaac. Say it again.
I believe that should be coming from the police department for wrongful prosecution. This isn't, a left-right issue.
No, it's not.
It still may be.
Yeah. That's good. Would you say the same thing of the New York City Police Department if they were to do something like this?
Probably. In fact, I would say yes.
Okay. That's good. My hat's off to you. Here's another person, a bit angrier. I must have done it a half dozen times in the past couple of years. I never get one response back. This person, emailing you is a waste of time is the subject. Apparently, this person feels that we must reply to every piece of email we get.
Hey,
we get about 3,000 pieces of email a day. And that's, in various, from off the hook, personal, webmaster, all kinds of things.
Well, let's examine the alternative. Would you prefer to get an automated reply that is so impersonal as to be aggravating?
We have people who get into arguments with the automated replies that, there are some mailboxes that send out replies.
If you
have one information, for instance, it sends out an automatic reply, and then they ask a question of the automatic thing, or they compliment it for replying so quickly. They think somebody sat down and typed three pages just for them. But anyway, this person says... I never get one response back ever, even when asking for your simple guidance. Now I read about poor shapeshifter losing $750 due to court costs. I am truly sick and tired of listening to you guys whine and bitch about every little thing. Come on already, you sound like a bunch of teenagers who don't know how the system works. If shapeshifter didn't want to be screwed with and possibly arrested, then he shouldn't have been where he was. He should have known better, since he works for and with you, that the government doesn't play fair, and if they know who you are and that you are a troublemaker, according to them, then they are going to get messed with. Geez, grow up already, signed William. Well, I find this to be a very common sentiment among angry people who feel that, if you get arrested, you have to have done something to, arouse the ire of the arresting people in the first place, and you deserve whatever you get, even if you're completely innocent. You shouldn't have been there. You could have avoided it. And I find that extends to hackers in general, people who ask questions in general. We're just troublemakers by default, whether we're guilty or not.
But they do have a point there, which is basically, if you're going to be in that place, expect a mistake to be made, and expect that this kind of thing may happen.
Okay,
Don't walk through the middle of a firefight and say, oh, my God, I got shot. Who would have thought?
Fine, but we're not saying, we want reality to change so that this never happened. Obviously, it happened, and we're dealing with it. What we want is justice after it happened.
Right.
And,
now the things are being straightened out.
The appropriate people to, pay whatever penalty is necessary for the injustice. So, yes, Mr. Ohm, you're here.
Yes,
in person. Talk into the microphone.
You want to use one of those microphones.
You usually call up the radio show, but here you're in person now, so speak into that thing. What's up?
Nothing,
you were saying something before. I thought you wanted to say something.
Well, I just basically want to say that the gentleman who wrote in is incorrect, that just because if the system doesn't play fair doesn't mean you can't complain about it.
Right.
Because if you expect them to treat you badly... You can still complain about it. It doesn't mean, like, oh, they're going to treat me badly. I can just sit down and shut up about it.
Right. Now, that's what it's all about is begging up to, you know, criticize the system and get justice for injustices and things like that.
Well, let's recognize that criticizing the system has the goal of improving it. If you're just going to criticize the system for the sake of criticizing the system, you're not helping in any way.
So that's what a lot of people seem to forget, is that criticism of all types is there to make something better. You know, I hear people who are, accused of saying bad things about the radio station, for instance, of being against the radio station. They're for the radio. They want to make it better. You know, they care. That's an important thing. And I think, you know, we shouldn't fall into the same trap that, a lot of authority figures have fallen into where, you know, they say, anyone who criticizes us is against us. No, it's not true at all. Probably the people who criticize you are your biggest allies. They're the hope, you know? Anyway.
Good answer.
Thank you. Bernie, you still there?
I'm still here.
All right, we're going to take some phone calls. 212-209-2900.
I should add, this isn't just $750. It's $10,000 you submitted for 10 months.
Right.
You put that in a standard money market account bearing 5% interest over the past years, which is a standard rate of return. That would have been over $400 of additional interest accrued. Now, the city is stealing City of Philadelphia is stealing $750 from Shapeshifter in addition to stealing over $400 in accrued interest. So it's really... $1,150 of money that, you know, what right does the city have to take this money?
Right. Plus, we had to fight to get it down to that level in the first place. At first, it was being held on $500,000 bail, which basically means that you have to raise $50,000 in cash. So, because of that incredible high bail, you had to spend a whole week imprisoned. And that, there's got to be a price to pay for that, too. That's a wrong way to treat people. All right, let's go to the phones, 212-209-2900, whatever is on your mind this week. And hopefully these phones will work long enough for us to actually talk to people. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I was listening. I was had something happen to me that has to do with this arbitrary proliferation of charging fees and robbing people.
Uh-huh.
The other day I went into the bank, and they said, you're being charged $15 because... your bank statement got sent back to us, meaning the bank, right? And I said, well, why was it sent back? And they handed it to me, and it was the post office just arbitrarily stamped on, wrong address, and it was the address they had on their
they
computer.
Charge you if it comes back in the mail now?
Yeah, and I called them and went through a similar process to like what you were going through over the phones, and eventually I got to talk to a human being, and then eventually this person said... trying to think of the crazy word she used. It was this condescending language that was as a courtesy from Bowery Bank, we will waive the fee.
Oh, how nice.
But it was done after like a lot of torture.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know whether it's been done yet or not, but just the fact that they could see on their equipment that the address that it got sent back from was the right address too. The very fact they're doing it is crazy.
Right.
But then they can see that they're wrong because it's just too crazy to be even talked about in all its convolutions of madness.
I want a constitutional amendment, Isaac. Maybe you can help me with this.
Which constitution?
I want for the United States Constitution. It gives me the right to impose fees as I see fit. I mean, these companies.
You already have that right.
I want to be able to charge a bank when they upset me, like upset this last caller, you know?
Well, Let's go back. The Constitution does not grant you rights. The Constitution grants powers to the United States.
Okay, fine.
So you don't need the Constitution to do that. In fact, I believe we should start charging callers a $3 fee for connection plus a $5 courtesy fee for even putting them on the air.
You believe that, huh?
Yes.
Wow. You know, Isaac, I got to say this. You know, there's a lot of...
we'll waive that fee today because we're your friends.
There's a lot of warring factions around here, as you know. You know, people at each other's throats about all kinds of things, you know, and that debating the future of the radio station, that kind of stuff. I think if we put you in the room with this whole group of people, they'd all find
a
common bond, and everybody would walk out of their friends. Of course, you might not walk out of there, but the point is, you know, it's...
Well, traditionally, the two great uniting forces of humanity have been a common enemy and vast exploration.
Yes. Yes, Jim.
I just want to point out that fee is not waived if your alias starts with R and your conversation starts with, did you ever notice?
Okay. Mm. Thank you for that insight there. Speaking of banks, my bank pulled a really good one on me last couple of weeks. They sent me this letter saying they had really good news for me, and that always makes me worry when they say they had really, really good news. there's going to be a more convenient way for me to look at my statement. And they always do this. They always completely rearrange the way the statement looks. And then they say it's because of my input that they did it. Like it's my fault that it looks like crap now. So this time they said that that they're giving me a three-ring binder. And they're punching holes in my statements from now on so I can put it in the three-ring binder they're giving me. It's like, okay, that's nice, I guess. But what else are they doing? Well, they're attaching little photocopies of my checks so that I can have those easily accessible, too.
Do they include the actual checks?
What they did not say is that they are no longer going to be sending me my checks back. That's what they're really trying to say. They stopped sending me my checks back. In fact, they even had a question, an FAQ in the thing, where one of the questions was, does this mean you won't be sending back the checks anymore? And the answer was, actually, we'll be sending the checks in a different way.
Oh, okay.
Talk about condescending.
Well, let's see. Which of these documents is able to be submitted as evidence in a court of law? A Xerox copy of the front and back or the actual document with the cancellation stamp? I would like to see this at
exactly.
some point.
I mean, you don't see the back of the check anymore. It has all that little writing information on it.
You can't read it in this stupid photocopy.
No, that should be a $200 fee right there that I can impose my bank. Just I should.
I'm serious.
How do I do that,
fee,
though? How do I charge
them a bill? $200 inconvenience fee.
We'll
pay to the order.
We'll see how that flies.
Dude.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to find out. A friend of mine had made a call to Europe, and I just wondered, is there a way that by holding, being held on the air for on the radio, on the phone for a long time, that people can usurp your services or anything like that through a long-distance call?
Just by making you make a long-distance call in the first place, maybe they're convincing you to call a number that's actually like a 900 number. Is that what you're referring to?
No, it was a friend.
Uh-huh.
Okay, he says that this girl called him from Europe.
Right.
And he called her back.
Okay.
And she held him on the phone for hours.
And she's a friend of his?
Well, yeah, supposedly somebody he knows or somebody he met.
Okay.
But I just wondered, can the people steal your service by holding you on the phone?
They can't steal your service, but what they can do is rack up an incredible bill that might be going to some, like, for instance, there. If you look in the back of the Voice or the Press, you'll see ads for various sex numbers in different countries. And they're not 900 numbers, and they get around the 900 number block. But what happens is they go to various Caribbean islands and other countries in various parts of the world, and they charge a tremendous amount of money, like $4 a minute, to connect to what looks like a normal phone number. What happens is these companies split the profits with the phone company.
Uh-oh.
And that's, you know, I don't know if that's what happened in this case, but, you know, when someone keeps you on the phone for a long time, they're either robbing your house while you're not looking or racking up a huge phone bill with the same basic logic in mind. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening. A quick thing. You mentioned earlier your problems with getting through to SPCS customer service.
Yes.
I know that one of their competitors, I won't mention their name, but they were just put up by a German company. Same situation.
I wonder.
Okay.
Yes, they used to have a parrot when they were here in New York. I found that hitting zero repeatedly, you hit it the first time, you get the same type of recording that you had gotten saying, sorry, no good, try again.
Yeah.
But when you hit it three times, in this case, you do in fact get kicked into customer service.
Interesting. It's just like with American Airlines, where I would scream at the top of my lungs to their voice-activated nonsense, I want a bleeping operator. You get an operator. Really? It works. It's incredible.
And the little angry flag on there?
It must.
Yeah. The other thing is, you mentioned the various porn-related long-distance international phone numbers and such.
Mm-hmm.
It actually turns out that more calls and more money gets sent to the various telepsychic-type people than to porn. I was surprised when I read that, but I saw those figures.
But anyway, I kind of lumped them all together, you know, just the 900 crowd.
Close enough. Anyway, take care.
All right. Thanks for calling. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hey, you there?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to mention real quick something about the banks. I'm here in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
and we have KeyBank out here. It used to be Society.
Okay.
They have a free checking account, which I have, but they charge me $5 every time I make a transaction inside the bank.
Really?
You make a deposit, they charge you $5?
Anything that you do that's not at the ATM or through debit card, they charge you $5 per transaction. If I want to go and make a deposit or pull some money out inside the bank, they charge me $5
every
time.
I'll tell you what you do. You make one very large withdrawal, your entire account in cash from the manager's office, and make them count it four times.
That's an excellent idea.
Or just bring a whole bunch of pennies and have
right.
them sort
well,
that,
too. That's how you give them their $5 fee in rolls of pennies, which
exactly,
you know, unfortunately
exactly.
break all over the floor as you're on your way out.
Exactly.
Well, at one point, do they charge you when they get your account number. So what if you make this huge deposit or withdrawal or something like that, and there's one bit of information that's wrong, and you can't figure out what it is, and you waste about 20 minutes of their time, and then you say, oh, you know what, just forget it. I'll do it at the ATM.
Right, and then they can't charge you the $5, but you've wasted a ton of their time. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, they can borrow you from the building from then on, but that's why they have many branches, you know.
No, but
right.
the real answer is take your money way out of there, and the bank will eventually wise up once they realize, gee, maybe we can't do business like this.
Well, yeah. I'm just curious if all these banks that are offering free checking accounts are doing the same thing.
Possibly.
It's very likely. Banks tend to engage in rip-off activities together, just like phone companies do. I remember, you know, as a kid, you could put money in a bank, and it would grow. You know, there wouldn't be fees. There wouldn't be, like, you know, various minimal balances and things like that you had to maintain. You know, if you put $20 in an account, you came back a year later, and there were maybe, like, $25 or something. I don't know. But it's not like that anymore. They charge you to give them money. It's insane. Same thing with credit cards. You know, credit card companies. They charge you a late fee in addition to the finance charge. And they all started doing this at the same time. You know, it's crazy. Good evening. You're on the air. I don't want to hear me. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're obviously on the internet.
Yes.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
How did you know that?
Because we had a long delay.
Oh, I'm sorry. From my job, Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Okay, cool. So what's on your mind?
Actually, I just wanted to bring up the fact that I sometimes listen to you. I listen to you a lot, actually. But you seem so surprised about a lot of things that go on. And think about the people who were wrongfully jailed for, like, 20 years, and they just let them out, and I would not even a thank you with $20 in their pocket.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? Attention needs to be called to those things as well.
Absolutely.
The reason I act surprised is because this is affecting me personally, and I'm seeing the immediacy of it. Yeah, I'm always aware that there are injustices going on all
right.
over the place,
uh-huh.
but you kind of get dulled to the concept of it until it happens to somebody that you know.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that we all, like, don't realize or even act upon it until it happens to us or someone that we know.
Yeah.
That's bad. But also, to bring up the issue about the banks, someone else had called up before on the radio station. I don't know what program they had called on. They said that this was happening, and they fought it. And I thought the banks, or their particular bank, had stopped doing that. So I'm not sure if it's something that if you get a group of people together to write in and say that, because they're supposed to return your checks to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe we could do something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks
for the call. Bernie, you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, I made an issue about the check thing with my bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I called them. I said, listen, I want my actual checks back, the original documents, not some lame photocopy that is not admissible as evidence in the Pennsylvania court. And I finally got them, and they're sending me my original checks back. But I had to really go through, like, several supervisors. And
do they do it every month they send them to you?
Yep. I don't write that many checks, but when I write them, I now get them back. But I have to really, really, like, turn some tables to get that to happen.
Well, do they charge you an extra fee?
No.
Okay.
Well, I would have screamed, like, oh, I just would have threatened to move my account. They don't want that. But, you really have to scream bloody murder to get even a semblance of customer service anymore. It's really insane.
It is. And there are so fewer people who are working in customer service because you have all the computers that have put them out of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can simply go back in history. It's not that hard to do. On the internet, on the Off the Hook site, on 2600.com, you'll see some of our earlier shows. And you'll see when we called operators back in the late 80s and early 90s, even then, it was dramatically different than it is now. I mean, you know, you would call information, you'd instantly get somebody, and they'd give you the information you needed, and if you had another question, they'd answer it. Here, it's completely automated, and if you dare to ask a question of a human, they're very abrupt with you because they're not supposed to be talking to you in the first place. It's really, really sad. So I give me a phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hi.
What's up?
Well, what's on my mind tonight is that I'm just fed up, frankly,
mm-hmm.
with listening to info commercials for entrenched interests who are hogging the BAI microphones.
Am I one of them?
No, you are not.
Oh, okay, good.
Assassinating the characters of beloved BAI producers like Bernard White.
Well, let's just keep the personalities out of it, okay? Well, I mean,
okay,
we can talk about... Yes,
question.
Go ahead.
Formerly at BAI, the gag rule only applied to people working at the station, staff members.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that when you told me, you advised me to keep the personalities out of it, it seems now that the gag rule has been extended to the listenership.
No, not at all. Not at all. Let me explain my interpretation of it.
Please.
I don't have this, in writing. It's something that we all pretty much have to interpret on our own. I have my standards of broadcasting. I don't like to assassinate any character, even if they're completely wrong. Even if I completely disagree with somebody, I believe in treating people with a certain modicum of respect. And, that's just the way that I do my particular program. I know other people don't subscribe to the same philosophy, and that's unfortunate, but that's their decision. Now, as far as what we discuss and what we don't discuss, there are some things that are of interest and some things that are not of interest. It, for instance, is not of interest if somebody is sticking their junk mail in my mailbox, and I'm really upset by that, and I want to talk about that and complain over the air. That's internal politics of a kind that I don't think is appropriate for the airways. Now, if you want to talk about the future of the station and your concerns and your input as a listener, yes, I think that's very much on target, something that you should be discussing and something I think you have an obligation to discuss. But again, as a programmer, I insist that we not result in personal attacks.
Individuals who are no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say that if the concept, in fact, by both sides, by both the dissidents and management, is to enlarge the listenership. I think no one would disagree that if we could enlarge the listenership, that would be a good thing. And I would say, in my opinion, that the listenership could instantly be electrified and enlarged by doing one simple thing, and that is, in the old tradition of BAI, opening up the microphones for the purpose of exchanging points of view. This amongst the warring factions.
Okay, I happen to agree with you on that. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I wish you had called earlier, and hopefully you'll call next week and we can discuss that some more. But we are out of time for this week, and we'll be back next week, hopefully talking about these issues and other issues that pertain to technology, telephones, and all kinds of other things. Until then, it's Manuel Goldstein for Isaac and everybody else. Have yourselves a good night. Stay awake. Be aware of rip-offs. Keep listening to the radio station. Keep caring about the radio station. Let us know that you're out there. We want to hear from you. Good night.
This is Sandra Cisneros, author of The House on Mango Street, and this is listener-sponsored radio, 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
We interrupt this substandard broadcast with important news from the Atlantica Radio Empire.
In anticipation of the takeover of your radio station by the Atlantica Radio Empire, you are invited to receive free listener training.
But you may say,
I already know how to listen to the radio.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
When you listen to the radio now, you hear people with different opinions, and you are confused by this.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I like to hear different opinions.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
These different opinions are unsettling.
I like to be unsettled.
No, you don't.
I like an argument.
You like agreement.
You like agreement. I like an argument.
There's something you like more than an argument.
No, there isn't.
How about conservatory quality jazz?
Atlantica Radio Empire will teach you how to blot out unsettling opinions by focusing instead on conservatory quality jazz.
Broadcast softly, almost subliminally at first, Atlantica Radio Empire conservatory quality jazz will reach a crescendo of maximization, swiftly removing conflict by ignoring it, overriding it, and blotting it out.
I like an argument.
You like agreement.
Now, see, I like, you know, free speech.
Censorship.
It's everything different, unusual,
and comfortable fit.
Thank you, Atlantica.